Jeffrey, what's that in your coffee cup?
What do you think it is, Jen? It's Death Wish Coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Death Wish is the world's strongest coffee, and the world's strongest salesperson needs the world's strongest coffee.
Jeffrey and I drink it, and diehards, you need to be drinking it too. It'll help you wake up and smell the order forms. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee, so go get your first bag or first box of K-Cups of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
So what does an order form smell like?
They haven't had a one-on-one conversation with somebody on the front lines and actually walked in their shoes to know what the problems really are. So starting with your culture of you leading by example, and your team listens to what you say, but they do what you do. And to remind yourself that your team will do half of what you do right and twice what you do wrong.
Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sell or Die, the global preeminent premier. How's that for pee popping?
Suffering succotash.
Podcast on the planet. Wow, the peas are just flowing this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we have this new microphone thing, so hopefully my peas aren't popping, but we'll see. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote The Little Red Book of Selling.
And I'm Jen Gluckow, the founder and author of Sales in a New York Minute.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Sell or Die. We're going to try to help you sell more, serve better, earn more, be better, and rock the whole world.
That's right. And on today's show, we have a part two of our interview with Dustin Hillis, the co-founder of Southwestern Consulting Sales Management.
Why didn't listen to part one yet, Jen?
Well, if you haven't listened to part one, go back, pause this episode, go back. It's two episodes prior. It's not yesterday's episode. It's the day before that. And listen to it. And then come back to this episode.
Why should I listen to this at first part one, Jen?
Well, because it rocks, okay? Dustin Hillis gives so much amazing information that we had to break his content into two episodes. In part one, he talks about his background in sports, and one of the things I really loved is his no more outlook that shaped his sales life and success.
No more.
Where did no more come from?
Okay, so he was an amateur wrestler, and he was in the wrestle. He was in the fight. And
in the wrestle. That's a technical term. In the wrestle.
I'm not a sports person.
No,
okay?
Kidding. Wait a minute.
Noticed.
Hold on. Oh, my God.
I'm going to continue now.
All right, go
ahead. Okay, so he was in the wrestle, and and the guy, his competitor was going to do...
A wrestlemate, I think, is what they call that. Wrestlemate.
I think they... I'm sorry.
I'm sorry,
diehards. We've officially lost it.
Okay. So his you actually call it a wrestlemate?
No.
Oh.
His opponent. Well, was
let's
say his
call
opponent.
It, let's call it a match. How about that? Yeah. He was in the match.
He was in the match, and his opponent did what?
His opponent was going to headlock him or something, uh-huh. was going to win the fight, okay? And he was not winning. He was not slated to win. I think he was...
He was the underdog.
He was totally the underdog. And all
and
of a sudden...
he's getting the crap beat out of him.
All of a sudden...
The spinach can comes out of his belt. What happened?
Okay, Popeye. Talking about popping your peas. Okay, so he stands up and he's like, no more! And he told the world... First, he told himself...
Then he told his opponent
that he was not going to be beat anymore, and he won.
Cool.
And no one thought he was going to win, including himself, by the way.
That's cool.
His coach didn't think he was going to win. He didn't think he was going to win. And then something switched in his brain, and he was like, no more. I'm not going to lose anymore. And he won, which is really freaking cool. And it talks to... beliefs, it talks to confidence, and he tells this whole story and so much more in part one. So that's why you should go back to part one.
I concur. As you know, or as you don't know, before we get to Dustin again, we have a big announcement. We are nearing the end of 2018. We've had so many amazing episodes this year, but we want to know what your favorite was. I know what mine is. Mine's going up on LinkedIn, so you can go to my LinkedIn profile and you can read about it, click on it and listen to it or watch it. And I want you to vote. I want you to vote for your favorite. You have to get onto the Sell or Die Facebook group page. Register if you're not an existing member.
Yeah, search Facebook for Sell or Die Hards. Join the group, and then you can vote for your favorites. The post should be the top post, so you can vote early and vote often.
And even if you don't live in Chicago.
And let me give you a little spoiler alert. Oh. We're going to use your votes to create our best of episode at the end of 2018.
So your vote counts.
Yeah, your vote really does count.
Your
in
vote
this
is
case.
Making more work for the production team.
Exactly. Your vote is making history.
So we'll have a special best of at the end of 2018. We may even do two, depending on how many you guys vote on and what wins. And
so
and
get
whatnot.
With it. Come on, get
but
with
listen,
it.
Listen, we have an amazing episode to get to, but first, Doug, we have a 5-star review.
We do?
Yeah, we do.
Is it from Sedan again?
No.
That was on Tuesday. No, this one is from Ron. Ron writes, Jeffrey and Jennifer, along with their constant line of relevant guests, is a gold mine of selling information.
Whoa.
Like the Boy Scouts motto, be prepared, this podcast will prepare you for more sales and more success.
Wow, Ron.
Ron Good. I think we know who you are.
Who,
I think
Ron
it's
Good?
I think it's yeah, I think there's more to that last
really?
Name.
Oh.
So whoever you are, Ron Good.
You win.
Man, you're good.
Yeah, thank you very kindly. So get your episode up there. Get your favorite episode up there. Please, please, please. And now we can get back to our interview with Dustin. In part one, we went over how his background in sports and his no more outlook, no mas. And I went to that fight, by the way, Thomas Hearns, whatever the Mexican guy was. Who was he?
I don't know.
That
I don't know what
Roberto
you're referencing.
Ah, Roberto
Nada
Durant.
Nada knows everything.
Oh, yeah. Fists
like,
of
you
steel.
Didn't even have time to Google that.
Fists of Steel. it was a, I mean, he, those were great fights. Not as good as Hearns Leonard, but it was a pretty good fight. So
anyway, part two.
Oh, yeah, part two.
So part two, Dustin's going to reveal the scary truth of workplace culture, and he's going to talk about, if you're behind on quota, how you can access the three levels of confidence to make up your gap.
Yeah, let me give you my three levels. Work your ass off, work your ass off, work your ass off.
There you damn go. And but Dustin has new, different, I don't want to say new. He has different ideas than that. And let's get into it.
Please help welcome back the great Dustin Hillis.
Even for our diehards who are not new to sales, just, you know, in general, like 30 years seems like a really long time. How do you break that down into something that's manageable?
Oh, good question. So I've have been at the Southwestern family of companies for 16 years now. And my very first year, I remember thinking, I saw the president of Southwestern speak. His name's Dan Moore. The guy graduated from Harvard in 3 years with honors, has his MBA from Vanderbilt. And he gets up on stage and he starts talking about positive self-talk. And I've never heard somebody talk about self-talk being what you say to yourself when you look in the mirror, and how that's the most important thing is having your self-talk right. And then meeting just so many people that are goal-oriented, that are positive, that actually believe in you, and they want to help you genuinely. And up to that point in my life, I'd never been around a culture of love and support and people with grace. Like, you'd make a mistake and people would forgive you and not hold you hostage. And I thought that was the most incredible thing I've ever seen. So I just made a decision early on that if it wasn't going to be this culture, it needed to be a culture like that. And then when we started Southwestern Consulting, our one-on-one coaching business, we've had 11,000 people go through our one-on-one coaching.
Wow.
And I've personally coached about 300 people, and they've all been executives, CEOs. And a lot of what we talk about are their cultures. And it's really hard to find a culture that, and if you're a leader, if you're an executive or an entrepreneur, I'd highly recommend you put a lot of effort into your culture, even more so than your, just as much as your activity and all the other things that you're planning. So for me, it was making the decision for the long term to be in the right culture is where I started.
Cool. There's a little something for everyone in this episode, because now we're going down the culture route, and that's one of my favorite topics. What are some of the things you tell leaders to do in order to change their culture or improve their culture?
Starting with looking in the mirror for themselves. You can't teach what you don't know, and you can't lead where you won't go. Ooh, And as I'm coaching a lot of these executives, entrepreneurs, co-founders, founders, CEOs, it's amazing if they've been in business for 20 years, that in the last 5 years, they haven't been on the front lines to actually go sell something. And they haven't had a one-on-one conversation with somebody on the front lines and actually walked in their shoes to know what the problems really are. So starting with your culture of you leading by example, and your team listens to what you say, but they do what you do. And to remind yourself that your team will do half of what you do right and twice what you do wrong. And it's a scary thing. It's mm-hmm. a scary truth to come to terms with if you're setting the pace of your culture. As if you think, oh, I told them to do that, but then you're not personally doing it. Good luck. When you're frustrated from your team doing this and that, it's like look in the mirror first would be the starting point. Then from there, it is communication systems and processes. So in July, I just became a CEO of the Southwestern family of companies. And for the last 13 years, I was just running Southwestern Consulting. And that's one of our 20 businesses, Southwestern Consulting is. And one of the things that I think caused Southwestern Consulting to grow at 60% per year for 6 years in a row is we created what's called the Southwestern Consulting Creed and the Southwestern Consulting Partners Pack. So what that is it's taking the old school mission statement and vision statements and breathing life into them in a group exercise with your key leaders and team. And you set the pace of your culture based on what they want it to be. So it's a facilitated conversation where you walk through, what do we believe in? How do we want to treat our customers? When there's problems, how do we want to deal with problems? How do we want the world to see us from our attitude? What are our core beliefs with? And you can have a checklist of all the different things that are important for your business. Then you codify them. You circle back with those people that help put it together and say, is this what we said? Is this what we believe in? And you have them sign off on it. It's like putting together a constitution for your business. And as a leader, you read that constitution at the beginning of every meeting. So Southwestern Consulting. Yeah, that's what we've been doing at Southwestern Consulting really since 2010. So it's been about 8 years since we've been consistently doing this. And our coaching business has grown, like I said, it's been growing at about 60% per year ever since we really got clear on our creed, which is not just our mission and not just our vision, but it's the principles that we actually want to live into every day. And we check each other with it. So sometimes our partners, if they get in a disagreement, they will literally pull out their creed and quote one of the bullet points on it and say, hey, here's what we're talking about. We're out of alignment here on this one principle. And then they have the conversation.
Wow. So wait, what's your creed? I have to hear it.
Wait
a minute. You don't have it memorized?
Well, it's really long.
So you read this every day before every meeting? Oh, wow. They're framed. These things are framed. Oh, wow. This is intense, diehards. For those of you who can't see this, like, Dustin is holding up a fully framed piece of paper.
Yep. We read this at the beginning of every meeting.
All right. So
this is the Southwestern Consulting Creed. At Southwestern Consulting, we are based on 160-year-old principles. Our vision is to become the most trusted sales performance company worldwide. Our mission and the reason we exist is to help people achieve their goals in life. Our purpose is for being in the sales performance business specifically is to help our clients elevate both the practice and perception of sales. As part of that pursuit, we believe in promoting the Southwestern story and the company's philosophies in the professional world, being for what's right, not who's right, promoting principles more than personalities, being practitioners of everything we preach, providing workshops of real value, not just a sales pitch, seeing people not for who they are, but for who they can become, teaching salespeople to sell ethically, honestly, and without shortcuts, laughter, and helping others to laugh. Ha, ha, ha. establishing a long-term relationship with each company and every person in whom we come in contact. Making Southwestern Consulting a place of transformation from the inside out for our team members. Providing unparalleled career opportunities for our team members. Creating multiple revenue streams and intensive internal training systems for our team members. Cutting-edge technological advancements and disseminating our information in a variety of mediums. Challenging ourselves to continually learn, grow, and improve. Giving the public quality information for free as a way of introducing ourselves and earning their trust. Taking action and implementing suggestions that come from our customers and our team members. Most of all, we believe in being examples of success by operating with integrity, self-discipline, and passion in every area of our lives and business. We are committed to building a company that creates a lasting legacy by building people. We are proud to represent the Southwestern family of companies, and we will work continually towards helping people achieve their goals in life and becoming the most trusted sales performance company in the world.
Wow. So you guys came up with that as a team?
As a team. Yeah, all the key team leaders back in the day, we all sat in a room and everybody started saying all of these things, and it was a big long list of principles that they listed off, and then we consolidated it, edited it. And it's like the Constitution. We amend it. So from time to time, there will be like a problem where we're like, oh, this is kind of weird. And then we'll say, hey, why don't we add that to the creed? So then we vote on it and we ratify the creed just like you would do with the Constitution. And then we redistribute it back to the team. They take it out of their frame. And everybody has one of these at their desk, and they have it sitting right there where they can see it each day. And then this is our partners pack.
Uh-huh.
So the partners have a leadership version of that. So it's different, where it's what standards as leaders do we hold ourselves to?
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one, and I'm done, is the Southwestern Statement of Purpose. So this is for the family of companies. We read this at our board meeting. We read this when I'm doing a company-wide meeting. We've got, 2,000 employees and about 10,000 salespeople. So if I'm doing a company-wide meeting, we start with reading the family of companies.
That's very cool.
So, and everybody got a copy of it as well. So,
at a lot of companies, people can't recite their creed or their mission or their value statement. How do you? I mean, yours is pretty long. Like I would have a hard time memorizing all that. How do you think it impacts employees if they have like a short one where they can actually memorize it and know it inside and out versus something like this that's every time, something comes up, you might add to it and soon it's going to be a scroll.
So we have this that we give people, okay, which is just a quick version of it.
That's the pocket size for those of you who can't see.
Yes, that's right. I guess at night everybody's going to be hearing the audio. So this is just the vision, mission, purpose, and a quick little snapshot, and everybody keeps the pocket version. Our vision has become the most trusted sales performance company worldwide. Our mission and the reason we exist is to help people achieve their goals in life. Our purpose is being in the sales performance business specifically is to help our clients elevate both the practice and perception of sales.
Cool.
Everybody, including you, including me, needs a little help. Even if you have trouble admitting it. It doesn't matter how long you've been in sales. The more you learn, the more you earn. It's just that simple. And if your sales needs help, it may be time to consider the Gittimer Learning Academy. It's the fun and easy and gamified way to brush up on sales fundamentals and learn some new advanced strategies to close the next deal. Sales, closing, That's what it's all about. We're creating the atmosphere where the other person wants to buy. We have hundreds of hours of lessons on closing, referrals, prospecting, you name it. You won't find a more comprehensive library of sales knowledge anywhere on the planet that you can actually use 1 minute after you learn it. Go to GittimerLearningAcademy.com today and sign up for a free demo. I love free, and so will you.
I like one of them that stood out to me was that your mission is to help people achieve their goals in life, because that sounds like to me you're not just talking about helping your clients achieve their goals, which is obviously one of your goals, but also helping your employees achieve their goals.
Yeah, we're big proponents of vision. Mm-hmm. So all of our team members have 30-year goals. And we create vision trackers. So we have 5 steps to vision mastery that we put everybody through when they first start here. And we continue to put them through once they've been here for a while. And we always make sure the 5 steps of vision mastery are being followed.
So what are the 5 steps?
Step number 1 is your vision baseline. So that is, why are you here?
Okay.
Physically, why are you at this company? Why are you in sales? Why do you do what you do? So it's Simon Sinek, Start With Why, which I'm sure a lot of the listeners are familiar
with.
But even deeper than that is there's another layer to why you're here, which is, why are you on this earth? And when you can tap into your destiny and understanding your calling, that's really where there's power in directly correlating what you do every day to your destiny of why you're on this earth. So if you can equate when you pick up that phone to call somebody or you knock on that door to, I'm fulfilling my purpose to being here, that's when the game begins to change. The second question that you need to go into is, after you have your vision baseline, is to do vision casting. And that is where you get into, what are the things that you want? And breaking it down the old Zig Ziglar way with, what kind of person do you want to be? What are the things that you want to do? And what do you want to have? And making a list of 10 to 20 characteristics of the type of person you want to be. And I know that there's a lot of training out there on this topic, but the reason that it's a fundamental is because it's a fundamental that works.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people put so much time and effort on what they want to have that they lose sight of the most important part of their vision is the person they're becoming in the process. And you're always becoming the person that you're going to someday be in the future today. And people talk about when they're going to retire or when they have kids or when they're going to do this and how they're going to be a different person. But the reality is, you should make a decision of the kind of person, the characteristics that you want to be now. So in other words, if you were to die, how would you want somebody to describe you at your funeral? And make a list of those characteristics as part of your vision.
Mm-hmm.
And then the things you want to do, you know, that's awards you want to win, being the number one record breaker, being, climbing a mountain, scuba diving, go on your cruise, go water skiing, snow skiing, whatever you want to do. The people that have a clear vision of wanting to do epic things are the people that do epic things.
Yep.
The people who don't have a clear vision on doing epic things are boring.
Mm-hmm.
And so
for sure.
Having that as part of your vision makes it a reality. And then what do you want to have? Then once you have clarity on your vision baseline and your vision casting, you then punt it out to 1 year, 5 year, 10 years, and 30 years out. And it's amazing how your mind has trouble expanding 30 years out to even think what's possible. And when you start allowing your mind to break free of past what I'm just going to do next year to 5 years, and you can set a really solid 5-year goal, then you set a 10-year goal, then you set a 20 and a 30. The people that I've coached that have built billion-dollar businesses, this is their X factor.
Hmm.
They simply allow themselves to not get trapped in their mind's prison of saying something's not possible. And they actually set a 30-year goal and they stay focused on how to do it. The next step is you do vision tracking and vision mapping. So what you do is you reverse engineer that 30-year goal down to daily activity. So you figure out how you can get there through reverse engineering your metrics. So if you want to have a $1 billion company, okay, let's break that down. What do you need to do this year to set the course for that track record or that growth rate in order to become a $1 billion business? And once you figure that out, then you figure out what do you need to do in a quarter? What do you need to do in a month? What do you need to do in a week? What do you need to do in a day? What do you need to do every goal period? So a goal period is every 2 hours blocking off time that you're dedicating to a certain activity goal. And when you can break down a $1 billion goal to what you need to do every 2 hours, how many phone calls you need to make every 2 hours,
yeah,
then it's just math. And it's a recruiting plan. So how many people do you need and, mm-hmm. and what are your metrics? And usually if you have a good product that people need and you're fulfilling a need in society, all the $1 billion companies started at zero.
Right.
And then after that, once you have your vision map, you need to track it. And this is a step that I find a lot of CEOs miss out on, a lot of presidents too, where they have a plan, they have a vision, they say we're going to go conquer the world, and they forget to actually track their progress to see if they're actually doing it. And this can also apply on an individual level. So this
for
process
sure.
can happen with an individual salesperson. And if you're running a company, you can do it with the company too. And you look back, let's say you want to make, if you're a new person, $100,000 in a year, and you map out month by month exactly what you need to do to get there. Well, if your second month, you're supposed to have 10 customers and you have 8 customers and you're tracking it on a thorough tracker, like a spreadsheet, guess what you need to do the next month if you sold 8 and you're supposed to sell 10 in order to hit your goal?
Catch up.
Ding, ding, ding. It's like rocket science, right? and yet so few people are doing this, especially at the company level. They redo their budget midway through the year. If somebody's not on track, oh, well, let's just recast the budget. What what is that? We're going to recast the budget. You double down for the second half of the year if you're behind on your
budget. Oh, for sure. And I a lot of salespeople in general get frustrated when they know, okay, if my quota is 100 grand, let's just say let's just say it's an even, 10K a month that I have to bring in, or I guess that wouldn't be right. But let's just say you have to bring in 10K a month. And now all of a sudden your first month you bring in 6K. So you're 4,000 behind. Next month you bring in 8K, you're another 2,000 behind. All of a sudden you're like a month behind. You know, maybe in your third month, you're down again. You're a full month behind. It gets really discouraging. And so it's not just that you have to get back to where you need to be to actually make your monthly goal and get ahead and make those extra sales, but it's like this mind shift game that you have to play. And so what do you recommend for people that are behind that need to catch up?
Great question. Let me finish the five
steps. Oh, yeah, sure.
Come back to that. I'm going to write that down, though. And that's very relevant, too, for time-wise, to finish strong for the year. That could be relevant to how to finish strong
for
no
sure.
matter where you're at with your goals. After you have the tracker established, you have to make it visual. So creating a vision board is something that we have all of our coaching clients do. Like I said, we've had 11,000 people go through our one-on-one coaching program. And a lot of the feedback we get, especially the higher the producer, you get that $1 million producer, you get the executive who thinks they know it all, and you force them, you hold them accountable to actually making their goals visible. And first you do the exercise of writing out your vision. You write out who you want to be, what you want to do, what you want to have, etc. Then you go and find pictures online that represent that. So you don't flip through a magazine. There's books and movies out there that you can watch that would say, oh yeah, you just need to create a vision board and just find pictures that get you excited and put them on a board. It's better than nothing. But the real power is finding specific pictures that have meaning to you based on your actual literal 30-year vision. And you cut out pictures of that, print them off. You can, on your cell phone, you can print them off at Walgreens or wherever. And then you physically put them on a vision board. And according to Shad Helmstetter's book, The Power of the Subconscious Mind, he talks about you can rewire your subconscious mind through visual imagery. And so by creating a vision board, it's not just a good idea that makes you feel good. There's actually psychologically proven elements that your brain gets rewired when you visually see an image of something that you're striving to become, things that you want to do, and a few things that you want to have. And when you put those on your vision board, there's words, there's images that have meaning to you. Your subconscious mind, if you put it prominently displayed in your office where you have to look at it each and every day, here is mine for the viewers watching the video.
So oh, cool.
Right there. And so if you look at it all day long, it really does help you rewire your way of thinking. And so that would be the last step of your vision process. So
I love it. The 30-year goal process. That's awesome. Thank you for breaking it down. Okay, so sure. Last question. I'm behind in quota, and every month I'm getting more and more behind. How do I catch up? What do I do? What do you recommend?
Great question. The first thing to do is to remind yourself of the three levels of confidence. And studying psychology is so fascinating of how humans are just wired naturally. The three levels of confidence are, the first is false confidence. So that's where you fake it till you make it. Everybody has false confidence at some point in their life. And we want to get out of this stage as fast as possible. It is a necessary evil. If you're brand new at a job or something, you fake it till you make it. But we want to get out of that. Second is the most common level of confidence that most people are stuck in, which is conditional confidence. Conditional confidence is where you tie your confidence to results. And it's the high highs and low lows, and it makes selling like a roller coaster. And it's what makes it emotional, and why most people can't handle the world of selling for long term is they attach their self-confidence in results. So what we need to break free of is conditional confidence and elevate our thinking to become unconditionally confident. And what unconditional confidence is where you base your confidence on, number one, your belief or your belief system, and knowing what you believe in and having confidence in that. And then second is your habits. And when you put your confidence into activity and controlling the controllables, you always can lay your head down on your pillow at night and know that you did what you were supposed to do. And it's beautiful, the world of selling, and really this is just life in general. There's only three things that you actually can control every single day. The first is your attitude. And you are in complete control of, if you're in a good mood, congratulations. If you're in a bad mood, congratulations, it's your fault.
That's right.
The second is your schedule. So I love reading Henry Cloud's book, Boundaries, and learning that if you don't like how people treat your time, congratulations, that's your fault as well. Mm-hmm. And so you're in complete control of your time. You determine what time you wake up, what time you go to bed. Your schedule is within your perimeters of how you treat time, even how your mindset towards time. Everybody says they're busy. I don't know anybody who doesn't say they're busy. Everybody's busy being busy. And so that's a mindset towards a controllable, where you have as much time as you allow yourself to think you do.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third is your activity. So you are in complete control of your activity every single day, whether you like it or not. And there's going to be circumstances happen. There's going to be flat tires. There's going to be bad weather. The economy is going to go up. The economy is going to go down. But you are in control of how many phone calls you make every single day. You're in control of how many one-on-ones you have with your team member every day. And by focusing on your activity, your schedule, and your attitude, it then makes it where you can bust loose and recover from just about any setback. And what I mean by that is, when you look at, let's say we're here at the end of the year, it's November, and you have 6 weeks left about 6 weeks left in the year. If you break down that amount of time it's actually an extraordinary amount of time.
Oh yeah.
When you break down how many working days you have left, go ahead and mark off the calendar when you're going to take Thanksgiving off. Go ahead and mark out on the calendar when you're going to take Christmas off, and how many days do you have left? And then say, okay, how many hours am I going to work within those days? And when you break it down to how many goal periods you have, and if you really were firing on all cylinders and controlling the controllables, typically there's a lot more time left in a quarter, in a year, or even in a day than what people think there is. So if you take it down to the nano of a day, and let's say you're on a goose egg and your goal was to have a big productive day and you're sitting on zero and it's 4:30, and what most people do is they phone it in, they quit.
Mm-hmm.
And the X factor of finishing strong, the X factor of getting back from behind, is killing the quit that's naturally in you. And when you can kill the quit that's naturally in you, you can finish strong. You can always overcome any obstacle. I was at the Super Bowl a few years ago, and I watched Tom Brady come back from a loss that was bigger than any. I'm a Falcons fan, and it was a bummer to see him do this, but the guy just didn't quit. He was mm-hmm. behind more than any quarterback had ever been behind in the Super Bowl, and he killed the quit. And it's amazing how people quit on a day, they quit on a week, they quit on a month, they quit on a quarter, they quit on a year, they quit on a phone call. And when you can kill the quit that's naturally in you, you know, Babe Ruth said it best, it's hard to beat somebody who doesn't quit.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I love that. Kill the quit. Thank you for sharing such amazing knowledge, amazing experiences with our diehards. This has been awesome.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I have thoroughly enjoyed it. Appreciate everything that you're doing, everything that's out, all the salespeople out there. Thank you for serving the world. What you do is so important. It's the most important job that's out there.
Thank you. Thank you. And for you too. Dustin talked about kill the quit.
Yeah.
You know, it,
I liked
makes
it.
You,
I liked it.
It makes you realize how much time is wasted in a work day or a work week.
Yeah.
What do you think about waste?
Well, I think that, first of all, you have to go back to the Orison Swett Marden quote from his book, He Who Thinks He Can, and re-underline the quote, never underestimate the value of spare minutes. So you can either spend your time lamenting your crap, or you can spend your time figuring out how to not make that happen again. You can learn the lesson or lament the lesson. Those are your two options.
Ever since I read that, I have become the master.
Oh, of the spare minute?
Of the spare minute.
Speaking of reading, so I'm reading this book on Scrum right now because partly because Jen is making me read it, but part because I think
my mother made me do this.
But I think it's interesting as well. But I was reading in that book where Eastern business cultures actually view wasted time, wasted money as like an affront to society. It's almost a moral imperative not to waste.
Yeah.
As opposed to Western.
Where it's just
culture.
Seen, it's not seen as a moral thing. It's seen as something you want to avoid,
now,
but
see,
it's not seen as a moral imperative.
You know what's interesting? I thought about it as Northeastern.
No, I meant like Eastern.
I understand that, but I'm still looking at it as, you know, in New York, you don't waste minutes. You take advantage of every single minute because somebody else is in your space. Mm. If you lollygag, you're bumped.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah, for sure. And I agree. I found that part of the book very interesting. And it's a mentality. Like, what is your mentality, diehard, around waste? Do you ever even think about it? Do you think about, like, well, I just wasted that time? Or are you just wasting the time and not even thinking about it? And so the challenge this week is to actually analyze where you're spending your time and where you may be wasting your time or your productivity, and figure out how you can turn that around.
It's called work ethic. And you decide if you're going to take advantage of your spare minutes or go on Facebook when no one's looking or text your friends or whatever the circumstance is. And typically it comes from not loving what you do. I mean, there's the reason people will waste time or at a quarter of five, kind of get ready to go, as opposed to at 5 o'clock, get ready to go, or 6 o'clock, whenever your workday ends. But the bottom line is, you don't love what you do. And if you're a diehard out there and you find yourself looking at the clock, go find another clock.
In my first job out of college, I had a friend who would call me every day at like 4:40.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, "Hey, what's going on? I'm just packing up." And I'm like, "Don't you leave at 5? He's like, "Yeah, but I'm already done, you know?" And I found out that he hated his job. Hated. And so by 4:30, he was thinking about how he couldn't wait to pack up. By 4:40, he was packing up. It doesn't take 20 minutes, does it, to pack up?
Really? Like, 9 seconds.
What do you need to bring home for the day? You're not bringing home your furniture. Like,
no, I take my desk back and forth. It's a little heavy, but it won't fit on the train. It's hard going down them steps.
Yeah, and so he would waste 30 minutes.
Yeah, and I certainly think that there is that aspect to some people wasting their time because they don't love what they do, and maybe they're being distracted. But I think the interesting part about this interview, and I think what you should think about, because I think a lot of our diehards are not like that. I think they're out there busting their ass.
Yep.
They're working hard.
Yep.
But what Dustin's saying is sometimes when we work hard, when we're working overtime, we're still wasting time because we're worrying about things we can't control, or we're investing time into things that are not productive. Not in a Facebook way, but in just this is not the 20% that's going to make my goal.
Sometimes you're on that treadmill of life.
Yeah.
And you just keep going, okay? And you just keep going, not realizing that you may be spending your time in the wrong place because you just keep doing what you've been doing. It's a routine.
You're stirring and stirring like the Bee Movie. But let me throw a wrinkle into this. There's a reason a lot of people get ready early and want to leave early is that they're thinking about their side hustle. And they want to get out of their job so they can get to their other job and spin that into a few bucks. And I'm against that. I think if you're trying to leave your regular job to get to your side job, then leave your regular job permanently
and do your side job.
You know,
you're going to win at what you're most passionate about.
Exactly.
Wow, we've taken this episode down a whole other route. So I want to get back to Dustin for a second because he talked about workplace culture. He talked about, you know, how they frame their code of ethics.
Hang on one second, Jen.
Yeah.
The culture can't be good if people hate what they do.
Of course.
It's all connected.
Of course. It is all connected. It is. I agree. And he talked about this cool concept that I had never heard of a company doing before.
What, be happy?
No, he talked about how they work with their employees to make these long-term plans and create vision boards.
Ah.
And I thought it was pretty cool that the employees, he showed me his vision board. Like, you guys don't get to see it unless you're subscribed to the Gittimer Learning Academy and you actually watch the video of it. But I saw it, and it was this whole wall of his visions and what he sees himself doing in the next 20 years. And here is a super successful person using a vision board. We have Hal Elrod a couple of months ago talking about the importance of vision boards.
You know, that was a good episode. Somebody should vote for that. I really liked the Hal Elrod.
That was a great episode. And it was actually a two-parter, too.
Yeah.
He gave so much content that was a two-parter, too. But anyway,
Wait a second. Impact to the show hosts. Jen does the Miracle Morning every morning to some degree or another, and so does Gabrielle.
Yep.
And it's working.
Yeah, and mine has I've adapted it into my lifestyle to work for me, which is what he recommends anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I've changed it up, and I've added things to it, and I do things a little bit differently, but I have a vision board. Okay, and it's freaking awesome. I love looking at my vision board. It's all the things I want. In fact, I am working on this weekend updating it.
My vision board is my bathroom mirror where I post my goals for the year and my vision for what I need to achieve. And this year, toward the end of the year, I have a two-part bathroom mirror, so I put the achieved ones on the right-hand side of the mirror so I can look at what has gone down so far. The goal book came out, the Truthful Living came out, the manifesto's coming out. Stuff has happened this year that's been literally monumental, but I still have stuff on the left-hand side, And I'm adding to it now because next year is going to be monumental. But we have to go
I
now.
I think that there's a really cool thing about that ritual of moving the post-it note, in your case, from the left side to the right side. Yeah. Like, it was a goal, and now it's achieved.
And I tend to wait a little bit longer and do it as a kind of an aha. Like, I knew when Truthful Living was done, but I waited till the launch. And then I moved it with a little bit more vigor.
Yeah, I notice when they get moved, I get really excited.
Yeah. Okay, so
all right.
I want you to go shopping. I want you to go, you're Santa Claus, go buy something for yourself. Have a real good time at it. Make sure you buy things for other people that will make them feel good. If you have a budget, shit can it. It doesn't matter at Christmas time. You always sort of overspend. And for those of you who are dying to send me something, I'm an extra large in Ralph Lauren.
Oh, my goodness.
In
that case, I'm a medium.
Okay, so diehards.
Tomorrow we have Best Of, where we take the best of each episodes from the week. We chop it down into one episode to carry you through the weekend. If you know someone who needs Sell or Die in their lives, if you know someone who needs to hear me and Jeffrey,
share it.
Please, 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 please. And there's
season of giving.
That's right. And there's no better place to start than with a Best Of episode because they get the best of.
Yeah. Share it with your friends. Share it with your coworkers. Do not share it with your competition. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer.
And I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm challenging you to get out there and buy something for yourself. Make a sale, even if your ass falls off.
Sell or Diehards. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard. And we thank you.